Welcome to Biz Rocket Radio with Stone Payton and John Baker. John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia, 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation. And now, get ready for Biz Rocket Radio. Here's Stone Payton and John Baker.
Welcome to Biz Rocket Radio. This is John Baker, and we are coming to you once again on Wednesday morning here in Hotlanta. It's starting to warm up here in the spring, and we are looking forward to it for sure. Today on the show, we're going to have three guests. And as you all know, Biz Rocket Radio is designed around speaking with executives and business owners here in the Atlanta area and learning from some of their experiences, some of their successes, some of the challenges that they've had, and how they've overcome some of those situations and come out on the other end looking better. And today, our focus is on transitions in corporate America, and our three guests have either, A, been through a transition, are currently going through transition, and or are coaching people through that transition. And what we wanted to do is get a bird's eye view of kind of what it's like going through that process and a better understanding of what it looks like on the other side and kind of while you're in it. I know there are a lot of people right now going through that process, whether it's trying to figure out if you're going to retire or go back into corporate America or maybe even hang your own shingle. And there are a lot of questions that go through your mind when you're doing it. So we are looking forward to today's show. Our first guest is Keith Green. And Keith has had an opportunity to know Keith for probably a year or so, I guess. And we got in contact with him and thought he'd be a great person to chat about because he's kind of been through this process. So, Keith, maybe you could give us a little bit of background on yourself. Sure. and maybe what you're doing now.
Okay. No, thank you. Thank you. I'm very glad to be here. As I look back on it, as we were talking, my whole career has been one of transition. And what I mean by that is that pretty much every role that I've had, I've really never had more than 2.5 years until recently. So I've found not only just within the past year or so, which has been a huge transition, but throughout my work life was one transition after another. I've been in the financial services industry my entire career. Started out as a stockbroker. A couple years later, I was a financial planning firm, a retirement planning firm. A couple years later, I was at TIA Craft, where I stayed and I had a few jobs there. And Aetna Financial Services, and then ING bought that. And I headed up a finance function, and then a strategy function, and then a marketing function. Then I was in Latin America for a time. Then I was in government relations. As a result of that, I felt that I was always transitioning. By the time I finally figured out a thing, I was on to the next thing that I knew nothing about. Most recently, of course, I've had an even bigger transition, and that this is the first time that I've been completely out of the corporate world, even though I work with corporations. For example, ING, Scripps Network are big sponsors for what I do right now, as heading up the American Retirement Initiative, which is a think tank which really focuses on working with trusted advisors, financial advisors, human resources advisors, attorneys, accountants, other folks who touch the individual and greatly influence a retirement decision. With the initiative, I work with government officials, Securities and Exchange Commission, Department of Labor, Social Security, et cetera, and business leaders, where folks can collaborate to better, I guess, to improve retirement education in the U.S. and how better to touch folks to improve outcomes.
So you've been in like a constant flux of transition. That's just been your MO.
It's been the MO, but this has been an even bigger transition than the transitions that I've been accustomed to in the past. But that's true. I think it helps having transitioned so much before, moving families from one location to another. I've lived a zillion different places and. Not a zillion, but several.
A bunch.
Yeah, and, you know, had to move families doing it. I think it makes it a little bit easier, but transition is really never simple.
Great background. We're going to come back to some questions on that and maybe a little bit more about those experiences. Our next guest is Bob Reed, and Bob I met through Kettering, which is a great mm-hmm. networking group here in the Atlanta area. Welcome to the show, Bob.
Well, thank you, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be here, and I warned John that there are rank amateurs in the world, and I may be the rankest, but I'll do the best I can here. And kind of, you know, in the spirit of what we're talking about, this, you know, the whole idea of transition set me to thinking, kind of like Keith, that we're doing it all the time, and lately it's had kind of a negative connotation, maybe, but early on. It always had a very positive connotation, and maybe what we need to do is figure out how to move all of them into the positive category. I personally, from an extremely young age, was just devoted to math and technology. And an example was my father and I took a college physics course when I was in the sixth grade, and I can still remember it. I mean, it's that kind of thing. So all along, I knew. I was going to be an engineer. I went to Georgia Tech and just kind of headlong went straight ahead into my dream job, which was to work for Bell Laboratories up in New Jersey. And it was the mecca of engineering and especially electronics and information theory and all these things. And I'll call it miraculous happenings along the way. I found myself at Bell Labs, happy as a clam, and never wanting to do anything else. Working for the Bell System, which we affectionately call Ma Bell, 1 million employees. We took 1% of the revenue off the top to fund Bell Laboratories, and we got to do most anything. We had a purpose for everything we were doing, developing precursors to the internet and everything else. But the time came for the first transition, and it was, headhunters would call, and I told one, I said, you find me a job in Atlanta, and that's interesting, and I'll consider it. And it had to do with my family and the fact that the children were coming along, and sorry for all the folks in New Jersey, but I did not want to raise a family there. And so we came to Atlanta to join a startup and in the satellite communications arena. And the next big transition was when I turned 40, and I thought of 40 as like, you know, this is it, over the hill and everything. And I used that opportunity to quit corporate America, write a business plan, and go out and knock on our own doors, and had an amazing success looking back on it, because now I would say it was all pretty much impossible. So those are a couple of the real positive examples. When that effort kind of came to its end and we sold the company, at that point I started my consulting practice, and which is something I would always recommend to somebody: incorporate by some name, and give yourself a little cushion so that you can always say, "If I'm consulting, I've got a place to call, you know, the business." And then, in during those times, I would also get some real jobs, as we refer to it. And you know, the only negative transition, and you know, came at a point when two companies ago, we were through some personal situations with the owner of the company and everything. I just kind of became the odd man out. And anyway, that at that point, it was you know, learning some of the hard realities of life. And what I've learned is I've gone from a job for life, which was the Bell system,
yep,
down to recognizing what you said, Keith, which is 2 years, 3 years may be the new norm.
Yeah.
And so you better make enough to last 6 months or a year while you're looking for the next thing you want to do. So,
you know, I'm gonna go to Bill here in a second, but I want to kind of piggyback on that, because that's something that you hear a lot now. The new norm is, you know, in an executive position is 3 years. You know, if you're there more than 3 years, it's a miracle. Forget the pension. You need to be prepared for transition all the time, and it's not just transition within the business; it's transition in your life.
Yeah.
When you're coming to that realization, and Keith, maybe this is harder for you to answer, and Bill, feel free to chime in on this. But when you're coming to the realization that is really what's going to happen, what's really the first step? It's almost like the death of your past or what you thought life was going to be like, and now it's this. How do you go to the next step? What's the first step in identifying that, hey, you know, this is going on, and how do I deal with it?
Yeah, you're looking at me, so
yeah, I'll, you start.
I think for me, it was a matter of the realization, and then dealing with some of the things that were not necessarily pleasant. And there's a tendency to say, well, what did I do wrong? I mean, as an executive, that's the way you think, because you can only fix what you yourself have done or can do, and you can't change the world. You can change yourself, and so you know, you constantly pour that. And at some point, you have to say, "Wait a minute, maybe it wasn't really my fault," you know, and maybe it's just time to go do something else.
Right.
You know, very important first step is to kind of get rid of the baggage, really.
Keith, you're shaking your head on, or nodding, I should say.
No, I agree with that. I think one of the things you have to do is you have to look at yourself and ask yourself, if the reality around me is different, what about me is transcends the situation? What do I bring to the table? And I don't know if that's a question that we can always answer. I think lots of times we need other people to say, okay, you've worked with me. What strategic value did I bring? I have a friend who heads up HR for a very large company who was letting a person go. And the person said, well, you know, it's because of my age, isn't it? And he said, no, it's not. It's because of your relevance. It has nothing to do with age. It has nothing to do with age. But it has everything to do with relevance.
Yeah.
You could be 15 years older than you are and completely relevant. Or you could be 20 years younger than you are and completely irrelevant. So I think what do you bring to the table that transcends the current situation that you can take to the next one?
Right. Perfect. Bill. Bill Judevine is here with us as well, and he's been on the show before, and we invited him back on to kind of give him some insight and a little bit of background, Bill, and you just to remind our listeners.
Sure. Thanks. I'm happy to be back. Thanks for having me. I'm with Talent Connections and Career Spa, and we really engage with business leaders and companies all around the dynamics of talent. That could be identification, sourcing, could be human resources, consulting. We engage with business leaders. We engage with HR leaders. We engage with recruiting leaders. And then on the Career Spa side of our business, we work with a lot of individuals that are in transition. It's career coaching, it's executive coaching, team dynamics, those kinds of things. So we spend a lot of our time in this new norm, right? So what is this new norm? And the statistics do show that today, when you land in a job, your lifespan in that job is going to average about 2.7 years.
So I was a little off.
Yes. So some would argue as soon as you sit down in that chair the first day, you got to start looking for your next job. So that's really, it really seems bizarre, but and I was just on the phone this morning with a business leader, and the conversation turned to, you know, maybe 9% unemployment is the new norm, which means people are always going to be out of work. So there's going to be this flux, if you will, of some that are out of work, some that are going to be pursuing opportunities, some that are going to realize, hey, I gotta really do something else. You know, I've worked for the man, so to speak, for 20 years, 15 years, and that's not really the norm anymore. And we see that, I think it's a big challenge for some individuals, certainly executives. And there's a lot of executives that are out of work today, and it's the first time they've had to look at their resume, and they're totally flabbergasted and overwhelmed by the experience.
It's brand new to them. It doesn't matter whether they're a C-level exec or whether they're, you know, not.
Right. I also spend some time volunteering with a couple of job transition ministries, and we see a lot of people that are in this for the first time, or maybe they're back. You know, I saw a gentleman just the other day who landed somewhere about 6 months ago and was just let go after 6 months.
Wow.
And it's still happening. Yeah. You know, so people are still finding work, yet finding themselves in transition again. And there are a lot of executives who are finding themselves in transition for that first time. So it's the whole, gosh, I've never had to have a resume before. I've worked somewhere for 30 years, 20 years, whatever the case may be. So there's a lot of dynamics around all of that. And I can talk more about what we hear from business leaders and corporations, but I'm sure we may get to that point.
Yeah, that's perfect. Let's talk a little bit about beyond that first kind of shock period where you're asking yourself the questions that Keith had talked about or what Bob had talked about. And you're moving on to that next kind of place, which is trying to find clarity as to what, okay, now what? What is it exactly that I'm going to be and what I'm going to do? And that's almost this phase that I've seen as being, am I going to, you know, there's almost three options. I'm going to just stop working, if that's an option for me. Am I going to hold my own shingle out, kind of like Bob had talked about? I'm going to be a consultant, create my own brand and my own business. Or am I going to go back into some sort of corporate America? How do you come to that decision? How do you get clarity over whether that one of those places or directions is right for you?
Well, it's I tell people the number one thing you got to do is figure out what you want to do. And most of us at a certain phase or stage in life, we've kind of been around the horn. We've done things, you know, that we could fill up easily, write a book about. And somebody says, well, what do you want to do? And this catalog of 1,000 things comes immediately to mind. And it's you've got to, at some point, say, put the catalog aside and figure out what the one thing is.
Right.
And tell me one thing. You know, I can work. If I want to help you, I can't help you with a catalog. But if you give me one thing or maybe two, that triggers something and I can help you with it. And even if it's not perfect, it's something. See?
Yeah.
And that person, see, the whole point of each discussion, let's peel the onion. Let's find out what's next. And you don't get to peel the onion if you put the Granger catalog up there and say, anything in here is fine by me.
Right, right. Yep. What do you think, Keith?
I think that's difficult. I think it's difficult to come down to that one thing. Simply because one thing may not be realistic. I think you've got to approach all of it with a sense of realism. Just because you always wanted to open a restaurant doesn't mean that that's your best move. you know, sometimes I think you may need to look at it in a series of steps. We'll give A everything that we have, but there needs to be a B, probably. There needs to be a C. The choices usually aren't perfect, and you give up something no matter what you choose.
Right. Bill, what have you seen in kind of coaching people through that process?
Right. So at Career Spot, we help people find their sweet spot. So what does that really mean? To Bob's point, I'm a big believer that in transition, you need to surround yourself with what I call a personal board of advisors. So kind of an accountability team. So with a coach, that's easy to do. We do workshops. We do work groups that are coach facilitated. So I think for the executive that's out of work, there's a lot of dynamics going on there, certainly in a marriage if they happen to be married, certainly in the family. But also, they've probably got some trusted friends that they can sit down with and say, hey, let me bounce a few things off of you. What do you think about X, Y, Z? So to Keith's point, what do you think? You know, people have told me, Bill, you should be a restaurant owner. And if Bob's a trusted advisor of mine, he might look at me and say, Bill, snap out of it. The reality is now is not the time to open a restaurant.
You right.
know, you need to find a stable opportunity. So there's a fine line with your trusted advisors where somebody, you know, gets their ticket punched to be able to say that kind of thing to you.
Yeah.
But, you know, we find people that are out of work, and sometimes the phrase I use, they're too close to it, right? So all that they think about is what they think about themselves versus if they have that accountability group that they can then take ideas to that group, and the group then helps them kind of flush through that stuff and say, you know what, Bill, even though this is what you're telling me, here's when I look at you and when I think about your success, here's what I think about. And sometimes people hear that and they say, well, thank you. I would have never known that had I not spent time with you. And some of that, you know, we do in our facilitated workshops. But, you know, if you're not going to go the coaching route, you can find a network of friends that's going to help you through that process.
Then kind of the next phase of that is kind of solidity. You know, you pick a path, and to Keith's point, you don't really necessarily know it's the right path. But from your experiences, and this is really to the whole panel, when do you know? When do you get that feeling, this is what I should be doing, instead of I got to pull a ripcord and you know, go on to the next plan B or C? How do you know, when do you know that it's the right thing?
Yeah, personally, I think a lot of people approach a transition and they go into it and they say, I got to get a job. And that could mean a variety of things. Some people might have a little bit of cushion where they can take some time and really, you know, it's kind of the examination of who am I, what am I best at, you know, what are some target companies that I need to pursue, so on and so forth. So some people that may have a little more resources and a little more runway may be able to take some time to do that. But then, you know, we see a lot of people where the reality is they do need to find a job. They need to get back to work quickly. So we try to help them do that. And oftentimes, again, I think you have to look at yourself and say, okay, you know, what are the skills that I'm really good at? And maybe it's titles or it's target companies. And why do those target companies appeal to me? And what is it about their opportunities? Or if there's not an opportunity, but they're a target company of mine, I have to create the opportunity that they may not see. And I just got to connect with somebody at that company. And sometimes the process takes a little bit longer. But you hear opportunities or you hear stories about people that talk to a company and there wasn't an opportunity, but they created one. And those people are so jazzed and so excited that they do find their sweet spot. And they say, man, this is exactly where I need to be. Now, it's hard to do, but you do hear those stories.
And Bob, you've been through kind of from the big corporate piece to the small startup and kind of the transition. And you've been through those phases where you must have known this is my stride. This is what I want to be doing right now. Do you recognize any correlation to when that was or how that felt or when you knew it?
I think it's kind of come and gone, you know, over time. And I think I wrote when we talked or discussed that question, I'm not sure what it even means. You know, the early in my career, I knew exactly what I wanted to do, kind of like what's the movie? It's a Wonderful Life. You know, I know what I'm going to do tomorrow and the
right,
next day.
Right.
That was me. And but you get to a point where there are times where you say, I just need some income, you know. And to answer your other question, which how do you know when it's working? Well, when someone's paying you to,
exactly.
to do it. But there's a sense here in which there are times when I think, well, nothing works. Everything works. I'm not sure. And there is, you know, I'm, you know, actually contradicting my own advice, which right. is, okay, focus, but you better keep a lot of plates spinning. you know. And so what a new whole new philosophy I've got is when I walk into a group, you think in terms of, okay, what can I do for each one of the people in this room? Because ultimately, if you are looking for a job, you're not looking really to get, you're looking to give. So what can I do for you? And so then you kind of, one thing I've done recently is to get a number of vendors that I work with, and so I will rep their products. So I've got something to talk about everywhere I go and have something I can offer you as a, you know, either a product or a service, and at least get the dialogue going while you try to find that, you know, perfect sweet spot job opportunity.
Almost the fake it till you make it kind of thing. You just kind of create activity until something sticks.
Let me write that down.
Be passionate about what you're doing, whatever you're doing, even if you're not sure what you're doing.
Yep.
Keith, any comments on that?
I agree with that, though. I think it comes and goes. I think, you know, in life you just have different seasons, so some things work very, very well for a certain point of time. But I certainly feel many days that, you know, I've hit my stride. I guess it's not just about feeling that way one day. It's about feeling that you hit your stride over a pretty long period of time.
Right.
I think if you feel that you hit your stride every day for about 3 weeks, then you probably hit your stride.
Yeah.
But I think when the income piece and the fulfillment piece all come together and come together over a sustained period, you've probably hit your stride.
So you've gone through this process, you've come out the other end, or you haven't, maybe you're in the middle of it, and it happens again, whether you're in corporate America or whether a business that you're involved in, you decide this is not going to work, and you go to the next, kind of go through the process again. Have you found, and this is to all of you, Bill, also with the experience you have with working with people, is it easier or harder the next time through?
I think it depends. I think it depends on the circumstances that led to your transition in the first place. I think it depends on how strong you are at that moment. I've certainly at various times transitioned into roles where it's been very positive and I've been very strong and I very much look forward to it. And there have been other times where I haven't been as strong and the transition was not one that I desired. And I think it really varies a lot. I don't think that just because you have one great transition, it automatically ensures that the next one will become progressively better.
I shouldn't admit this, but I've had some real, real fun. And some of the best and most enjoyable times have been in this, I call it the deadbeat society, you know, being out of work. Some of the smartest people I know are unemployed, and I'm you know, proud to be in that group. So, you know, each day it's like you've got to get up, and because I don't care if you're in your groove or in the, you know, zone or whatever it is you're in, you have these bad days. And so the next day you get up, you say, well, that's past. Now we're starting over again. And just make sure that every time there's an encounter, you bring sunshine. You bring the energy. You are a positive influence no matter if you're dying inside. I had someone the other day was sitting in a meeting, like, you know, some of us deadbeats, and one of them said, well, I'm not a salesman. You know, and I looked at him. I said, "You are now, okay." And it is the most difficult sales that I know of. You know, you're selling this one product and this one size, one color, one, you know, and there's no you know, second place. I mean, you either win or you're out. You know, and so if you can get through. One day I woke up and I said, you know what, I know somebody who's well-heeled and has no worries in the world. He could not do what I do for one day. you know, think about that.
Yeah.
So you're learning things, and it's, you know, some of this is God's work in your soul. And, you know, who said, my father famously always said, who told you life was going to be easy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
whoever did lied to you.
Yeah, right.
Bill, what's your experience been?
Yeah, I'm not so sure anybody is necessarily prepared for a transition, whether it's the first one or the next one. I do agree with Bob that it's a sales position, and it really is all about activity, right? So what we find is that a lot of people in transition hear about a job, and they then get engaged in the pursuit of that job, and they really focus a lot of attention on it. And inevitably what will happen because of the numbers, the way the numbers play out, is they're going to hear no. And when they hear no, it knocks them right back down to the bottom, and they have the most difficult time getting themselves back up. So, you know, we try to encourage people that it does take a lot of activity, a lot of balls in the air, where don't necessarily get so connected or so engaged in a job, whether it's because of the role, the company, whatever the case may be, because there are a lot of people out of work. They got a lot of resumes for that position, and you're up against some competition. So, you know, that then speaks to, in your activity, what are you doing to really get connected to one of your target companies versus just being a piece of paper in the pile? Because if you're a piece of paper in the pile, you're not going to get the job. Mm-hmm. I was at an event yesterday morning where I heard a senior HR leader for one of Atlanta's most well-known employers talking about this company's leadership, how engaged they are from the CEO down to the recruiting of individuals. And one of the things she shared was that their statistics show that people that come through the career portal, in other words, went to their companyname.com careers, applied that way, got the job, versus a referral, those that went through the portal end up leaving after about 6, 8, 9 months.
This is what the executives were saying?
Correct.
Really?
And the referrals end up being wildly successful.
And sticky.
And sticky. And a lot of that is because of the referral, they're already engaged, right? They've got a friend at work. So when they, it's a different dynamic when that person gets into that new role. So my point in sharing that is that a lot of people spend a lot of time on job boards, spend a lot of time on company websites, applying to jobs, sending out their resumes, so on and so forth. So we work with a lot of people talking about, and Bob knows this and Keith knows, it's all about activity and finding your connection, your personal connection to an opportunity. And then the other encouragement we give them is that when you get that no, let it go. You know, you could choose to spend a lot of time, you know, kind of the why me questions and woe is me and, you know, why does this happen to me all the time? But in my opinion, that energy is much better spent pursuing the next opportunity. So if you got a lot of balls in the air, the no doesn't matter. It was no before you ever got into the process. So what made you think it was going to be something different unless you really wowed somebody? So, you know, I always say the answer to the question is always no unless you ask the question, right? Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I hear people all the time, well, here's my target. And I see a list of 50 target companies. And I'll say, well, what are you doing with those target companies? And it's a blank stare,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So it's their target companies versus, hey, I'm pursuing these five things. I know the CFO at company XYZ used to play tennis with him, personal friend of mine. I know the chief marketing officer at company ABC. He's going to take my resume directly to the hiring. To me, whether it's Bill Judevine or whether it's CareerSpa, those are the ones that are going to find their next opportunity, and they're going to be very successful in their next opportunity.
So I was going to go a different direction, but that's a really good one to go to. So now you're in transition, and you're going, well, I better go dig my well, right, as Harvey McKay would recommend. But you've delayed, and now you've got to go dig your well. How do you start? Where do you start? How do you start the networking process? How do you start getting into the places that you know you need to get into? What's the first step?
You know people, and to have a good friend who is a technician in a company or something is worth more than to not know a vice president well, okay? And so it's amazing as you talk to a friend what, number one, they know.
Yeah.
It's amazing what people know about the company that's like inside information. And because that's how companies have to function. They have to spread the word inside. And so, you get your outlook, you just start going through names, and you build your LinkedIn profiles and your social networks and just go full speed on that. I was very tentative when I first got into LinkedIn. Now I'm one of these aficionados, you know.
You can teach a class, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so I made a boast to somebody. I said, I can get to any CEO in Atlanta. Just tell me who it is. And you do it by going, I know somebody who knows somebody, you know.
Right.
And you just keep probing in there until the point where something springs loose. And so I challenged myself. I had a target company that I was going to get a job at because this company fits me, okay? And it's kind of a funny story because I went so far as to, you know, I got into the CEO and we sat there. He said, well, what's this meeting about? And I had to come up with something, you know? But I literally brought the 60 Minutes crew. I heard that somebody was doing a special on transition out of New York. It was ABC. And so I brought the 60 Minutes camera crew into that company with me to do my interview. And I'm sitting out there in the lobby, and people are asking permission to walk through and all this stuff. I felt like the king of the world. I did not get the job. I did not even, I don't think, interview for a particular job. And a year later, everybody I was interviewing was fired because the company got bought by somebody else. So sometimes you're just barking up a stump. You need to keep many balls in the air, as Bill said.
Go ahead, Bill.
I think you need to eat your humble pie and tell people what you're doing. I mean, it really is. And what I mean by that is, and Bob knows this, a good friend of ours calls it the 3-foot rule. That is, when you're within 3 feet of somebody and you're out of work, you tell them you're out of work. And you tell them what you're looking for, right? So it's that elevator pitch. It's all of those things that you hear about. So, and this gets to some of the dynamics I mentioned earlier about your marriage or about your family or about your friends. Sometimes when folks are out of work, they're just really humble and embarrassed to tell somebody they're out of work, where we say, look, you got to talk about it. You know, tell people, tell your neighbor. Tell your spouse. I mean, talk to your spouse. I mean, think about it. Your spouse is driving the kids to soccer, and they sit there and they talk about everything while they're watching soccer practice, right?
Yeah.
So they, Lord knows how many connections they have.
Yeah.
Then, you know, they're off to the grocery store, they're off to this activity at school, whatever the case may be. I think spouses are neglected relative to what connections they have. But then also, even just a neighbor. You know, you hear about it all the time. When somebody says, well, gosh, do you know anybody over at, you know, and pick the company in Atlanta, whoever it is. And somebody will say, you know what? I played tennis with a guy one time, and I think he told me his wife is person XYZ at that company. I'm going to have to ping that guy again.
Right.
And tell me again, what role are you interested in? So, you know, when I say eat your humble pie and tell people, you got to tell people you're out of work. I mean, that's the first step.
It's interesting. I had a guest on the show, and I don't know if Alan remembers, but this is probably not 4 months ago. Said exactly the opposite, right? They're saying, look, don't tell them you're out of work because nobody wants to hear all your problems, you know. Tell them what you do. Tell them that you're looking for connections in, but don't say you're out of work because you become kind of like a, well, God, I don't want to hang out with that person. You don't think that's the...
I don't...
Is it the spin? Is it how you're doing it?
Well, it could be. I believe that some people are connectors. And some people are not.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you tell somebody that you're out of work and I'm talking to Keith and I say, hey, Keith, you know, here's my situation. Can you help me with a connection, so on and so forth? And Keith kind of gives me a blind stare.
Yeah.
Then
move on.
Right. Then you got to move on. Then you got to find Bob, who may be very well connected and can help me, you know, maybe make that progress. So I think, to your point about the story you just told, it may be, it's all about the delivery, right? It's just like a comedian. You know, it's all about timing and delivery. So if you're a woe is me, why me person, and you approach somebody and your shoulders are down and your chin is down and it's all woe is me, I don't want to hear that, right?
Yeah.
So, and again, I'm a sales guy. So it's a little bit easier for me. Those in transition who might be, and I'm not going to pick any industry because I'm going to get accused of picking on people, but it could be anything if they're not salespeople. And they have a really difficult time talking about themselves, marketing themselves. But as Bob said, that's exactly what it is. You're the product, and you got to sell yourself.
Well, you know, and I think you need to help people help you. Most people want to help you. Most people who know you are going to want to help you. And it isn't so much a matter of approaching somebody and saying, you know, I'm out of work. I think it's really more a matter of, this thing happened to me, and I'm no longer with company XYZ anymore. But what I'm really interested in is X. And I want to talk to you. Do you know anybody who may know somebody who's doing this? I think you got to give people direction. You have to help them help you.
That's a great point.
Bob, what do you think? What's your experience been in approaching people in that type of
capacity? Well, if you say, do you have a job for me? The kind of the down in the mouth thing, people run and hide. And I think you said it, Keith, exactly right. You've got to help people help you, but they all want to. I'm always amazed at how that their wheels will start turning if they have an ounce of care, and most people do.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that the stigma is gone. Okay, once upon a time, there was a stigma.
Yeah.
It's gone. And I was with somebody the other few days ago, and I was talking about my last company and everything, and he says, "Wow, you were there 2.5 years." I said, "Yeah." You know, it's all of us. I thought it was a negative. It was a positive.
Heck of a run. Woo, man, 2.5 years you were there for a good period of time. So let me shift gears a little bit to the thing that most people really have to get solidified early, which is, you know, it's hard to look for something that's going to be perfect down the road if you can't pay the mortgage right now. So on the financial side, how do you take the first step or get yourself solidified and saying, look, I've got some time, I've got a process or something I can kind of walk through before I got to go, you know, upside down on the house or things really start getting scary. What seems to be the case is the immediate concern after job loss is, how am I going to pay my bills? So how have you found people go through that process of giving that comfort and solidity so that they can really go out and hammer things down for what's right for them for the future?
This is a very personal. Do you have any other questions? I mean, it really is. Here's the other thing. You have resources you don't realize, okay?
Yeah.
And things that you can turn liquid and whatnot. And things at one point can certainly get very tense. This is really the hard part. And it may mean that that you need to go to a Home Depot and get the interim job. The quandary, and I think this is the most difficult thing, is that if you're a six-figure person, okay, and that's what you're capable of, and that's what you should be doing, and that's what the world expects of you, okay? And you know in your heart that it's going to take 6 months, 9 months, 3 months. It's going to take some time to do all the things. I mean, you may be a genius, but you still have to run a lot of rabbits before you find out, oh, I don't want to go there because they're getting ready to go out of business.
Right.
And it's, and the economy is a factor. I mean, we haven't mentioned it yet, but it's out there. It's kind of like the storm or the cloud that kind of hangs over us. But in any case, you marshal all those resources, and you end up praying a lot. At least we certainly did, and amazingly, I look back at it, and I was out for 2 years, but I got some unexpected income in there that almost dollar for dollar equaled what I would have gotten had I stayed at the previous job.
Really?
And the lesson for me was, don't be anxious. You know, it's a biblical lesson. And you know, think about the times that you just went to pieces, and it was unnecessary.
Right.
And so there's a lot of things that you might want to do that you didn't ever have an opportunity to do.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, if you maybe you sell the house, maybe you just start over. And I've known those people. Thankfully, we haven't had to do that yet. But worse things have happened.
Keith, you've part of this is kind of what you're dealing with now with this new position. Have you found anything with people you're working with that have helped?
Really, we talk about it from more of a policy standpoint rather than working with individuals in that way. But I think your point is absolutely right. When you start a new endeavor, I think you've got to have sort of a plan or a plan for lots of different pools of income. You mentioned, hanging out a shingle and doing a little consulting. It may end up replacing 15 or 20% of your income, but there could be another pool of income from another place and a pool of income for another place. And when you add it all together, it ends up hopefully approximating in some way. Or if there's a shortfall, it's better than 0 to 100.
Right.
It may, be zero to 60. And if there's a game plan. I want to go back to that. When do you know to look at other things too? I think with everything, you give it some time and have a plan starting out and say, okay, when I reach this date, realistically, I should be here. If I'm not here, what am I prepared to do?
All right, what's the next step?
What's the next step here? And I think it helps to have a plan. Not rigid and immobile, but to have some kind of plan in place and say, okay, well, it is December 31st and this didn't happen, and it's not that it's even close. It didn't come anywhere close to happening, so maybe I need to go to part B.
So what I'm hearing from you guys is A, set some boundaries, know kind of what it is that you need to be able to do. Don't be afraid to make changes, and don't freak out about it too much. Don't let it get in the way of you doing what you got to do today.
Yeah, and
there may be lots of pieces that you need to cobble together to meet a whole. And those individual pieces and the activity relating to them could be a lot more rewarding than the whole of what you had before.
Okay, so let's move on. I got two more questions, and we're going to wrap up. But the next question is, now you landed. Now you've got your next position. You're either employed or you're doing something on your own from a consulting or a business practice, and you are driven and consumed by that activity. How do you keep up the network? How do you keep up the well and continue to do it? Because you know you're supposed to, right? But so many people just don't do it.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
It's hard. I'm shaking my head. I'll make sure that I'm doing, at least some percentage of the meetings I was going to, the people I was talking to, the connections I was making. But when you get into the next job and the place is burning down and you're just quite often can't do it. And I regretted that and had to kind of, come out, take a deep breath and jump back in. Now this time, I know a little more about what to expect the one thing I will say, though, was that my attitude toward people who called, in the old days, what can you do for me? I can't take this call, Whereas now I am very much open to folks that do call me, that do find me.
Right.
When I'm in a position to help or advise or what else. And you get to where when you can help somebody, it is a wonderful feeling. I've gotten a couple of people jobs recently, and I said, remember me. Please.
The whole pay it forward is pretty rewarding.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Keith, any comments or suggestions on keeping that network fresh and moving?
I think so. I think after you have transitioned, you, I like your comment about the whole humility piece of it, but it first of all depends on the business you're in. First of all, you develop a new set of contacts too. You may not connect at 100% of the level that you did before when you had more time to,
right.
But even if it's 50%, it's a whole lot better than it could be. Potentially. I think it's challenging, though. It's challenging when you're knee-deep in one situation to...
think about down the road, right?
But I do think the experience changes you in a pretty important way. And you know going in that, say you've been at a company for 15, 20 years, and then you start with a new company, you know you're not likely to be there 15 or 20 years.
Yeah.
So... I think there's a good chance, even if you get knee-deep in whatever's going on with that company, that you're not going to, I think very few people are going to completely let go of that new that new community because you know you're going to need them.
Right.
Or odds are that you'll need them soon.
Right. Bill?
Yeah, I think it's a choice. There's, you know, in this market, Atlanta is a great market for a wide variety of networking opportunities. And there's a lot of them that are breakfast meetings, so you catch it before work. There's a lot that are lunch meetings, so if you're able to leave the office for lunch and can do that, and there's a lot that happen after work, you know, say from 5:30 to 7 or from 6 to 8, from 7 to 9, whatever the case may be. Certainly, it's difficult if you land somewhere and you landed in a role where there's a 90-day quota, then the choice is I'm not doing networking for the first 90 days of my new gig.
Sure.
Right? Because I got to, you know, I got to keep the main thing the main thing.
Yep.
So, but I think it is a choice, and... It may be that you can't keep all, you know, if Bob's involved in 15 things and he's passionate about them now, and he can be because he's got a little more time, then maybe when he goes back to work, he drops that and he's passionate about three things. And it's just the choice to pick the ones that either are job-related and specific to the job, and then maybe it's a negotiation with your manager to say, hey, I'm passionate about this. I think it's pertinent to the job. I'd love to stay involved. I hope there's a way that I can do this.
Great. All right, so we're going to wrap up last question, which is a pearl of wisdom, just that you might mention or get across to our listeners, other people that may be in transition or might be in transition in the future. What would your pearl of wisdom be? Keith, we'll start with you.
I think you need to have an idea of what your best self is, what your best self looks like. I think it's a lot easier to go out every day selling yourself and selling what you do. When you feel that you are good at it, when you feel that you help people or help your company or help the world in some way by doing what you do. And if you're going to spend, eventually when you land, 12, you know, 14 hours a day doing that thing, you have to feel good about yourself doing it and feel that you're well-received doing that thing.
Good stuff. Bob?
I could think of many things, but one is to work harder now than you did then. You know, you don't have the structure. You don't have the phone ringing. You wish it would. You know, I call myself so I can hear the phone ring. But you need to go twice as hard as you did when you had the job. You need to be, in other words, you are your own boss now. You better be the meanest boss you ever had.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hard to do that sometimes.
It is.
Yeah. Bill?
Yeah, I've got three things
one.
Really quickly.
Just get one.
I got three real quick. Stay positive and smile. Find your connection and do something. Activity.
Excellent. Keith, if somebody wants to reach out to you, what's the best way to get in contact with you? Is there an email or comfortable giving any of that out?
Oh, absolutely. My email address is a very long one. I'm from the American Retirement Initiative, so it's kgreen@americanretirementinitiative.org. Couldn't get a shorter URL.
Yeah,
or
you
can
come up with some kind of acronym to
you
make
know,
that a little shorter.
You try
right?
to, and all the good acronyms were taken.
Yeah, well.
Or you can call us at 404-920-8662.
Thank you, and appreciate your time coming on today.
Thank you.
Bob?
Email is breed, B-R-E-I-D, at... Protos Inc. P is in Paul. ROTOSINC.com, and the company is Protos Inc.
Protos Inc. Great, Bill.
Yeah, Bill Judevine, and I'm going to have to spell that for you. So it's Bill J E U D E D like David, E like Edward, V as in Victor, I N E at careerspa.net, and that's spa just like you think it would be. And phone number is 404-271-6591.
Great. I just want to thank all you guys for coming in. I know that this topic sometimes is not comfortable or fun to talk about, but I think that there are a lot of people out there that can really benefit from what you guys have gone through, and I do appreciate your time and coming out. And hopefully our listeners were able to gain some pearls of wisdom there. And I certainly appreciate the listeners' time as well. Until next week, be safe.
John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia, 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation. We'll be right back.